Everybody sharing what they're thankful for. I'm thankful for a church where you have to come early to get a seat on a Sunday night. No, I'm not being silly when I say that. I mean that. I go to a lot of places where you start on Sunday morning with a good crowd, and then Sunday night, a quarter to a third of people come back. This is not the norm, folks. It's not the norm at all. And to be honest with you, I've tried to figure it out because, you know, they say you can't build a church like this. You guys just don't make any sense. I'll tell you what, folks, if we would start sitting at the feet of Jesus instead of at the feet of John Maxwell and Max Lucado and all these other people, we would see a different church than we have today. I was thinking, and I don't want to take a lot of time, but I'm so thankful for you all. I was looking at this big hole today, and I believe, I want to encourage you because I believe you're going to have the same problem over there that you have over here. I do. I'm just amazed by what God does. I'm thankful. This is going to sound silly for you, but I'm going to share a little bit what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful the other day I got insurance cards in the mail. I haven't had insurance for a while. I had some things happen, and thankfully God kept me healthy. But I got insurance cards in the mail the other day. That doesn't mean anything to you, but that means something to me. See, folks, God has been far better to me than I could ever possibly deserve. And I'm amazed. And since I've been here, I've been struggling tonight because I want to do what God would have me to do. It's a difficult thing as a preacher because you study the Word and you find things and you want to share it with people. You want to preach it. And then when you plan to preach it, God comes along and says, well, I want you to do something else. It does. It happens. If you're a preacher, you know what I'm talking about. And as I was in here tonight, I wanted to talk tonight about the fact that we have a reason to sing. You all know that. You've been singing all night long. I can't believe how we just went around and not one person said they had a headache. I've heard some testimonies, folks, that by the time they're done, I'm sick. It's the truth. And I've been planning to preach that. I've been looking forward to preaching it, and yet God began to bring something else to my mind. And I don't know why, to be honest with you. Since I'm being honest, I'll tell you, I don't have a sermon from this passage of Scripture. I've just studied it a little bit. Yeah, that's all right until I get started. Then you're gonna wonder, what are you doing here? I like y'all too much. I want to come back, you know. But more than that, I want to do what God would have me to do. And so I want to share with you what God is laying on my heart. And I believe this is for somebody here tonight. I want us to look in the Gospel according to Mark. Oh, and it could be in church. Mark chapter 1. While you're turning there, let me just say this. This has been on my heart all day. My friends who were here this morning, Jeremy and Linnell Medici, they're wonderful Christian people. They've been in the process of adopting a baby from China. And it has been a long, drawn-out thing, and it seems one thing after another. I believe God can give them the baby that they long for. And I want to ask you, because I know you're a praying church, I want to ask you to pray for Jeremy Linnell when you think of it, that God would have His way and they would get the baby that they desire. Mark chapter 1. Beginning with verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Pray with me, Jesus. We love you tonight. We're so thankful for your love for each one of us. We realize there was nothing that we could do to deserve or earn that love, and yet you still chose to show that love to us by dying on a cross. And I pray tonight, Jesus, if there be anybody in this place unaware of the love that you have for them, that they would realize tonight, they would feel your spirit slip in beside them and hear you whisper in their ear how much you care. And Jesus, we're so thankful for the day that we've had. We're so thankful for the way that you've been here with us and for the words of testimony and encouragement and praise that we've heard. And I would pray, God, that you would continue. Take me out of the picture tonight. I'm a little bit nervous, God. I pray that you would speak and not me, that you would help us to see you and because of that be changed. I believe if we do that, if we would open ourselves to what you have for us, we would be different by the time we leave. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. I began studying in the Gospel according to Mark probably 2 years or so ago. I had a friend that challenged me to spend my devotional time, my study time, in one book of the Bible. You do understand tonight that if it's true in one book of the Bible, it's going to be true throughout. And in fact, if you find something in one place of the Bible and you don't find it anywhere else, if it's not true anywhere else, I don't think you found truth. I don't know if you agree with me on that or not, but it's true. If it's true in one place, it's going to be true throughout the Scripture. And Mark, it's an exciting book. It's often called the Gospel of Action. And there's words that are used like straightway. There's not a lot of emphasis put on the teachings of Jesus. Rather, it's the works of Jesus. It's the miracles. It's what He does. And I want us to think about this passage here. But as we come to verse 21, we have to realize what had just happened just a little bit before. The passage just before verse 21, we see is that day when Jesus was walking along the seaside and He stopped before some men. They were fishermen. Just average, ordinary, common guys. They worked with the strength of their back. They worked with the sweat of the brow. They went out on a ship. They threw nets into the water. They pulled fish out. They were hard-working men. Average, ordinary men. Probably smelled like fish. And Jesus, walking along that seaside that day, stops before them and He gives them a call. See, they probably thought it was just going to be another day. It's in the ordinary things when Jesus breaks through and changes our lives. You realize that. We watch Him as He stands there before these men and He gives them an invitation. He says, Come ye after Me and I will make you to become fishers of men. And you've got to understand when Jesus gave this invitation, Come ye after Me, this was not just an invitation for morning coffee. This wasn't just an invitation to share a meal or a day or an hour. This was an invitation to a changed lifestyle. He says, Come ye after Me and I will make you to become. We watch these men. I love that passage of Scripture. We watch these men. They hear His words. But there must have been something about the way He said it. There must have been something about the look that was in His face. Because when they hear His words, even though it defies all reason, even though it doesn't make sense, we watch these men. They drop what they're doing. They drop their nets. They step out of their old life into a new life. We read that they forsook their nets and they followed after Jesus. See, if you're going to follow after Jesus, there is no choice. You must forsake the old instead so you can step into the new. You cannot hold on to anything and expect to follow Jesus, because eventually, if you're dragging your nets behind, you're going to be gathering up the things of the world, and it's going to tie you down, and you're going to lose all track. But we want them, as they forsake the old, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And when they're following in the footsteps, they have His promise. Well, what was His promise? I will make you to become. Do you realize what Jesus is saying there? I will make you to become. It's not in us. It's not in the church laws. It's not in man-made lists of do's and don'ts. It's not when we follow after Him, folks. He does the work. And I say glory to God for that. Because I've had people all throughout my life try to say, this is what needs to be. But when you're following after Him, when you've forsaken all, He will make you. That's what just happened. And then we watch them. Words like straightway, verse 20. Straightway, verse 21. I mean, it's all throughout there. We watch as they're following after Jesus. As they're walking in His footsteps. As they've attached themselves to Him. All of a sudden, they enter on the Sabbath day into a synagogue. Now, I just want you to picture this with me. They enter. You do realize tonight that a synagogue wasn't necessarily a church. A synagogue was a gathering place for the Jewish people. The synagogue didn't have a pastor, didn't even have a rabbi. It was led by scribes. And I've been tempted all my life. I've been tempted when I hear scribe, there's something about that name, that title, scribe. It just doesn't seem like much to me. I picture a monk in a monastery somewhere, taking dictation, writing stuff. That's what I think about. But you've got to understand, a scribe was not that. A scribe was an interpreter of the law. A scribe was a teacher of the law. A scribe was a judge of the people based upon the law. Pretty important. We watch them. These were the guys that would lead it. And over the years, you've got to understand this as we get into this, because if you don't get this, you're not going to understand what's going on. Over the years, the scribes at first would rely on the written law. There was a written law, the Word of God. But over the years, they began to become an oral tradition as well. Spoken law. This is what Gamaliel says. This is what so-and-so says. And over the years, they began to rely more on oral tradition than on the written word. Oh, now think about this. Think about today. More on oral. They wanted to be associated with the teacher. They wanted to be associated with the sect instead of being associated with Him. And because they had begun to rely on the oral tradition instead of the written word, they lost their power. See, that's always going to happen. When you start relying on man rather than God, you will lose your power. I tell you how to ruin Rubyville Church. Start relying on man instead of God and watch it go down. So Jesus goes in one day. We don't have recorded what He taught. We don't have the substance. All we have is the response of the crowd. They were astonished. They were amazed. Because He taught with authority. See, this is the thing about Jesus. When He went in there, He didn't have to quote Gamaliel. When He went in there, He didn't have to quote anybody else. When Jesus went in there, He was the authority. He was being sourced by His Father. He was doing His Father's will. He was preaching the Word. He was the Word. And they were amazed. Something happened. When Jesus shows up, something happens. I read that there was a man, verse 23, in the synagogue, a man in this gathering place, a man among the scribes, among the people, a man with an unclean spirit. And I need to take a minute and stay here just because I want you to get the picture of this. Because you hear those words, with an unclean spirit. You might be tempted to think of that it was something, you know, it's a little thing or things. But you got to understand, when I was in college, I'm not a smart person. You've all heard me preach before. You know this. But I did take 4 semesters of Greek. 7:30 in the morning, 2 hours. It's hard enough for an evangelist to get out of bed anyway. Try to get out of bed for Greek. I got out of college and I found out that people already translated this stuff for me. But every now and then, it's good. See, the Greek was more colorful. Our language is kind of limited. The Greek was more colorful. So you've got to understand, when we see the word that he says, a man with an unclean spirit, what he is saying here, literally, what he is saying, there was a man in an unclean spirit. In fact, it's the same word that Paul uses to say we are in Christ. So what he is saying, there was a man there in the synagogue in an unclean. This was a man that was so overcome by this demon. This was a man that was so overcome by this evil that his identity was gone. Everything about him was wrapped up in the evil. He was totally controlled by what was the demon was doing. He didn't have his own identity. Instead, he was in. Do you see the picture? In Christ, in an unclean spirit. You ever think, Cal, about how long he went to church here? Will you all think with me for a minute? Here this man is, wrapped up in this evil spirit. Going to church every Sunday morning, maybe. And it was so empty that he just sat there. See, if you stand in man's authority, nothing's going to be accomplished. But when Jesus comes on the scene, if you stick with me, you're going to be changed tonight. Jesus shows up. Doesn't quote them. He'd already shown these fishermen, hey, follow me and your identity will be found in me. Now all of a sudden the clash between good and evil, which you find all throughout the book of Mark, now all of a sudden it's going to be confronted right there in the church house. The man begins to cry out. He begins to go crazy. Listen to what he says. He says, let us alone. What have we, and notice the tenses that he used. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee. Switches from plural to singular. I don't know what that means. I told you I don't have a sermon on it. But anyway, tell me sometime, Cal. I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. See, and do you understand what's going on here? Battle of good and evil. All of a sudden he says, I know who you are. You're Jesus Christ. You're the Son of God. You're the Holy One of God. Do you think he was just praising him? Do you realize what was going on? He was trying to get mastery over Jesus. See, sorcerers back in this day, remember the sorcerers in Pharaoh's court? Sorcerers believed that if they would state your name, your full name and title, they could get mastery over you. But I serve a God who will not be mastered. I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. And all of a sudden, Jesus, he's had enough. Jesus, this has gone on too long. The demons don't belong in church. They belong somewhere way off. He begins to rebuke him. Listen to what he says. He says, hold thy peace. Hold thy peace. The word here. One word. Same word, actually. that you remember the story where Jesus and the disciples, they get into a boat. They cross over the lake. Jesus falls asleep back on a mat in the stern of the boat. He's asleep there. All of a sudden, this fierce storm comes upon the Sea of Galilee. The disciples, they think they're going under. They're trying to put the water out of the boat. They're doing everything they know. They were fishermen, folks. They knew how to keep a boat afloat. And all of a sudden, it seems like they're going to go over. They go to Jesus and they say, "Hey, wake up, man. Don't you care? We're going to die here. We're going to drown." And then we see Jesus as he walks up, faces the sea. He says, "Peace. Be still." And all of a sudden, that storm stills. Same word. Same word. "Hold thy peace." Well, what was he saying? Could say, Jesus looked at the demon and said, "Shut up." Kids, don't say that. If you're in here, Mom, Dad's going to get mad at me. "Be quiet." You could say that, but that really doesn't bring out the picture. That's not the strength of the word. That's not really what's going on. That's not what he said to the ocean, the lake that day, out on the sea either. You know what the word means? Are you ready for this? He looks that demon in the eye. He looks the sea. He looks nature in the eye. And he says, "Be muzzled." Be muzzled. It's the picture, you know. It's the wild dog. He's barking uncontrollably. He's gonna bite you. He's going to tear you apart. And all of a sudden they strap that muzzle on there and his mouth is shut. Held by the straps of the... Be muzzled. Authority. Authority. All of a sudden. I wonder if he was mumbling, don't you? I'm weird, I'm sorry. Do you realize that he can muzzle the evil in your life? Do you understand? There's nothing that you find yourself in. Oh, you've tried to put an end to it. You've tried to stop doing this. You've tried to stop being controlled by this. But it seems like now you've done it for so long. It seems like you've been involved for so long that now all of a sudden it has control of you. And no matter what you do, you can't find your way out. No matter what you do, you can't find the victory. I say let Jesus have authority and watch him muzzle that demon. Be muzzled. I believe in a God that can muzzle the evil in our lives. Oh, but it gets better. He didn't stop there. Be muzzled and come out of him. Do I even need to say anything else? Come out. See, he wouldn't leave that muzzled demon in there. I'm enjoying this whether you are or not, man. This is speaking to me. Not only can he muzzle it, but he can kick it out of your life. He can remove it. It can be gone. The demon, oh, he had tried to get authority. The demon, oh, he had been here for who knows how long. The demon, he had had control. He had this man. It was his. But all of a sudden, he found a muzzle. He found the hand of God right on his mouth. Couldn't say a word. And now that hand not only had a hold of his mouth, but it was pulling him right out. And we watch him as he's kicking and screaming. And he's doing, but when all is said and done, he's gone. Be muzzled. And they were amazed because of the authority. I'm so thankful that I serve a God
so thankful that He can muzzle nature. The storms in my life. I'm thankful not only can He muzzle those storms, but He can muzzle the evil that's in me. See, some of y'all in here, some of you, when people are standing up and they're praising the Lord and saying this and that, when God is moving and people are gathered around this altar, there's a battle that's going on within. And that battle, they want to control you. But if you would let Him have authority, He could muzzle it. No. Not only muzzle it, He could remove it. So the question that's left me asking is, if He can do that to a man in an unclean spirit, what can He do with me? Let's get a song together. He is the victor. He is the conqueror. He's the Lord of all. Jesus, we are so thankful that there is nothing that we find ourselves in that You cannot get control of. There is nothing that we find within us that You cannot rip out. Make us tonight into the people that You would have us to be. Just as You restored the identity of this man, just as he was able to worship God like he had never worshiped before, let us tonight have our identities restored. Let us realize that true identity is found in You, forsaking the old, following after You, and allowing You to make us into the people that You would have us to be. Jesus, if there's someone here tonight that's lost, they're unsaved, I would pray tonight would be the night that You would muzzle their evil. If there's someone here tonight who's been struggling with things, I pray tonight would be the night that You would rip it out of their life. Give them their identity back. True identity found in You. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen. As we sing, if you need to pray, you